So tonight, we're looking at the fifth chapter of Ecclesiastes. It's written, it just says, the teacher and the son of David. We figure this means it must be Solomon. Now, Solomon began well, but he ended badly. And it appears Ecclesiastes is his reflections on all of it at the very end of his life. And so, we're going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Better to draw near in obedience than to offer the sacrifice as fools do, for they ignorantly do wrong. Do not be hasty to speak, and do not be impulsive to make a speech before God. God is in heaven, and you are on earth, so let your words be few. For dreams result from much work, and a fool's voice from many words. When you make a vow to God, don't delay fulfilling it, because he does not delight in fools. Fulfill what you vow. Better that you do not vow than that you vow and don't fulfill it. Do not let your mouth bring guilt on you, and do not say in the presence of the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry with your words and destroy the work of your hands? For many dreams bring futility. So do many words. Therefore, fear God. If you see oppression of the poor and perversion of justice and righteousness in the province, don't be astonished at the situation, because one official protects another official, and higher officials protect them. The prophet from the land is taken by all. The king is served by the field. The one who loves money is never satisfied with money, and whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with income. This, too, is futile. When good things increase, the ones who consume them multiply. What, then, is the profit to the owner except to gaze at them with his eyes? The sleep of the worker is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich permits him no sleep. There is sickening tragedy I've seen under the sun. Wealth capped by its owner to his arm. What, that wealth was lost in a bad venture. So when he fathered a son, he was empty-handed. As he came from his mother's womb, so he'll go again. Naked as he came, he will take nothing for his efforts that he can carry in his hands. This, too, is a sickening tragedy. Exactly as he comes, so will he go. What does the one gain who struggles for the wind? What is more, he eats in darkness all his days, with much sorrow, sickness, and anger. Here's what I've seen to be good. It is appropriate to eat, drink, and experience good in all the labor one does under the sun during the few days of his life God has given him, because that's his reward. God has also given riches and wealth to every man. He has allowed him to enjoy them, take his reward, and rejoice in his labor. This is a gift of God, for he does not often consider the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with the joy of his heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your words. Help us to understand them and go with us as we put them into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I have called this losing fruit, because it shows ways that you can lose the fruit of your labors. You can lose fruit from a rash vow. Obedience is better than the sacrifice of fools. If somebody's sacrificing and he's not doing it sincerely out of a love of God, then it's really not going to do him any good. But if he's obeying God, then God knows that he's at least attempting to be a good person and in line with the wishes of God. If you have a vow, if you vowed to God something, don't delay to fulfill it. I always remember when I see that, there was this movie with Burt Reynolds, and he had gotten a terminal disease. And at one point, he decided that's it. He doesn't want to play anymore. He was going to go kill himself. So he gets out to drown himself, and as he decides he doesn't want to do that after all, he turns around and he's fighting to get back to the shore. And he's praying, "Oh Lord, if you'll just help me get back to the shore." And he, all these things that he's going to do and so on. And the closer he gets to shore, the more he starts to change what he had said. "Oh, I know I said this, but this will be enough," and so on. And then when he gets there, it's like, "Well, you know, God, this was all under stress. It didn't really matter." That's the fool's vow that they're talking about. Don't hesitate to fulfill your vow. If you promise something to God, do it. If it's not something God wanted, he'll tell you. And he'll tell you not to fulfill it. But that doesn't happen a lot. He says it's better not to vow than to fail in fulfillment. God, most of the covenants God had were initiated by him, not by people on earth. People on earth didn't say, "Oh Lord, I want this, so if you'll give it to me, this is what I'll give you." What happened was God would either say, "Well, if you do this, I'm going to do this. Or if you don't do this, I'm going to do this." Whatever, you know, it may be something that he wants you not to do, and so you profit from not doing it. But then you also have vows where God just said, "Okay, I am the Lord, and I'm vowing this to you." God will always fulfill his vows to you. Always. But we don't always fulfill our vows to the Lord. And when they talk about the temple messenger, he's talking about the priest. You're sitting there and you're making statements in front of the priest when you're making your sacrifice, and then you don't fulfill it. And he's saying, don't do that. And then there's losing fruit to corrupt officials. He says there's a hierarchy of corruption. Each person tries to extort things from you. And there are people extorting him above. So don't be surprised when the government rips you off. That's what governments do. When the people were telling Samuel that they wanted a king, God said, "Tell them what the king is going to do to them, what they're going to have to give the king once they make him." And it wasn't pretty. Samuel was very honest. "He's going to take your young men and make them warriors. He's going to take your young women and make them courtiers," and all this, you know. So government always sucks the life out of you. Every level extorts the one below it. So the person at the top is extorting the next person. Well, in order to get that, he's extorting the next person down for even more. And then that person gets him from somebody low. And in the end, some poor body's at the bottom. And he's the one who's ending up paying all this. Or lots of people are paying this. But don't be surprised that's happening. After Solomon's death, the people asked his son, Rehoboam, for relief. So we know that Solomon was at the top of that chain, and he knew it. And he's telling people, "Hey, I've done this. I know how it works. Don't be surprised that it's happening. But you might want to be careful about who you put into government." And then we have losing fruit by our own covetousness. people are never satisfied. Like I said last week, J. Paul Getty, when they asked him how much is enough, he said, just a little more, just a little more. Never, ever did he get to the point where he thought he had enough, just a little more. And he just kept doing that. When good things increase, the people who want them increase. And so, if you're doing well, suddenly you have all kinds of friends who want you to give them things. And a hard worker sleeps really well. But the rich person who is not working hard but is just living off of other people doesn't sleep well because he's always worried. What's going to happen to the money? What if the people don't pay? What if I can't sell my stuff? The worker just, he knows, he goes to work, he does his job, and they pay him. Okay, it's real simple. And he sleeps well. And then there's losing fruits by working hard, too hard to get them. Hoarding wealth. We've seen that some of the people who've made the most money in life are people who kept giving it away. They didn't hoard it. They had enough for themselves and to live a really good life. They're probably living better than us. But a lot of them are giving away money to make sure that the people at the bottom of the chain are being taken care of. That's what we're trying to do with One Heart, is we're saying, okay, we've got some people who are in unfortunate circumstances, let's help them. Let's not hang on to stuff. It's like Pat says, every month, automatically, they take money out of our checking account and drop it into the savings account. But we, as far as I know, have never taken money out of the savings account to put it back across. And so it's like, okay, there's enough money coming in. We're running this church, and we've got the money in checking to do it, and the savings account's building up. So we're saying, wait a minute, let's take that and do something with it. Let's go out and help people with it. Too many ventures lead to bad results. You see people who are always trying to pull a weasel deal, and it always goes sour. Okay? When I was young, I did not want to leave Florida with my parents when they went to Vermont. So I got a job selling cars at a used car lot. And this one guy who was the partner of the guy who owned this used car lot, sort of a partner, I mean, he'd rip him off first chance he got, but he was always pulling weasel deals. And more than once, he got ripped off because he was trying to get more for less, and he wasn't being honest in what he was doing. Too many ventures lead to having bad ventures. You go out the same as you came in, with nothing. You're born naked as the day you were born, because that's the day you were born. But you go out the same way. It's very interesting. I discovered at one point that when Jewish people are buried, the only thing they do is put them in a burial shroud. Now, I know this because the humorous part was that this guy really liked this particular pair of socks, and he wanted to be buried in those socks, but that would have violated Jewish tradition. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, they snuck him in there when nobody was looking. But other than that, when they said, you go out as you came in, yeah, you do. In Jewish, you do. All you've got on is a burial shroud. It leads, working too hard leads to eating alone and suffering. We know that there's an awful lot of people, particularly men, who work so hard to try to get ahead, and the next thing you know, he's completely surprised because his wife's leaving him because he was never there. Now, on the other hand, you have a guy like me who's been in the military who was constantly going off somewhere and leaving his wife alone with his rotten kids. And but she never ran off on me because she knew what I was doing. She knew this was service to the United States. Sorry, that's the way it works. But when it's voluntary, when the guy's just constantly working, he's always at work, he's a workaholic. Wives don't like that stuff. That's not something they can be proud of. And then he says fruits are to be enjoyed. When you've worked and you've done what God asks you to do, and there's rewards for it, enjoy what God gives you. Now, some of us get a lot, some of us get a little. But guess what? If we're content in what we have, then we'll be happy. God gives what's good for you, and then he helps you enjoy it. He keeps things away from you if it'll be bad for you. Apparently, he thinks having tons of money would be really bad for me. But at any rate, if your labor is for God, he will fill your heart with joy. As I've told you before, when I first started doing this, I would go home at night, and it just had this feeling of, like, you know, exhilaration or something. And this one old pastor of the church that we came from said, "Walter, that's called fulfillment. God saying, Walter, you did good. You did what I wanted. That's fulfillment." So if your labor is for God and you do it well, he'll fill your heart to overflowing and you just feel really good about yourself, regardless of your situation. So what does this mean to us? Well, don't make rash vows. Don't go around saying, "I'm going to do this for God and I'm going to do that for God." One of the things that it says in, I think it's James, and he said, don't say, "I'm going to go do this." Say, "If God wills, I'm going to go do this." Just obey God. God will tell you what he wants. God will tell you if you're going in the wrong direction. And when you turn around, here he is, just saying, "Ah, good boy, you're going the right way now. Come on. Let's catch up and let's get ahead." Remember, government tends towards corruption. That's just the way it is. Some are worse than others, but there's corruption hiding everywhere. You find people and you often hear them because they're getting very distraught about it. But they discover corruption and they say, "We have to do something about this." And they try and they get nowhere because it's just inset. That's the way government is. So don't expect we're ever going to fix any of this crap. Do not covet or hoard. Wanting something you can't have makes you miserable. Hoarding stuff that you do have makes you miserable. Because here you've got something that may be something you wanted, but now you're holding on to it. And you're not enjoying it. Okay? You go out and you buy some really good food. Does it help to go and look at it? No, you eat it. It's good. Okay, I want that. You have to make sure Pat doesn't see it, or else I won't be allowed to have it. But at any rate,
you said good food.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just enjoy the things God has given you, and be content with your life. Because if you're content, God will keep giving you more and more. He will keep lifting you up. If you say, "Lord, I'm satisfied with what you've given me, whatever you give me, I'm going to be satisfied with it. What do you want from me? I'll go and try to do it." And better you get at that, the more God gives you, the more he lifts you up. That's just the way it is. And this guy, it seems very depressive, I guess you could say, when you read through Ecclesiastes. But the bottom line is he's saying the best thing is just to eat, drink, and be merry, because that's what God put you here for, was to serve him and to enjoy his world. Okay? But there are things you can do that will be very upsetting to God because you're messing with his world. He doesn't want that. Okay? So we don't want to do it. Just enjoy the things God gives you and do what he told you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us to be good servants. Help us to see your will in our life and to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here.